coming up on TMS PM episode 1234, Dillahunt. I can't get it right. That's a great way to celebrate 1234. Dillahunt is nuts.
Jimmy Buffett still milking it.
Are you ready for September 23rd?
Drunk koalas.
Stoned parrots.
Dan the tabletop man.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS PM. That didn't work right first time. It is episode 1234. Brian, how do you feel about that number there?
I feel like that's a magic number right there, Scott. Yep. 1234.
If you're trying to break into our stuff, that's our password also. It's TMS.
That's right, 1234. Exactly. That's my log. That's my ATM code.
Yep. Anytime we need a password, we just throw 1234 back on there. I hear that's really safe and the common way to do it.
Sure. Or use the word password as your password. Yeah, no one ever figures that out.
I go both ways. I go password 1234 and 1234 password.
Oh, yeah. Thwarting those identity thieves left and right, aren't you?
Yeah, take that, hackers. What are you going to do now? Come at me, bro. Hey, let's get into it. It's a TMS PM edition of the show, and I just would like to make a comment. I had a minute to sort of chill for lunch today after we finished AM. Mm-hmm. And had a lovely steak salad.
Oh, nice.
It's very good. And get it from a place called Cubbies. I've talked about Cubbies before.
Oh, we've talked about Cubbies. That's the one with the big lights?
Yep. All the old people complained because it was so bright. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I got that. Kim brought it, which was very nice. And she just showed up with it. So I went upstairs. I ate that, and I watched an episode of Justified Season 6, which I mentioned this morning. I somehow have not seen, even though I thought I saw it.
Right.
And that Dillahunt guy, what's his first name, the actor?
Garrett Dillahunt.
He has one job in this world. Two jobs. One is to be evil and horrifying in all the things he's ever in.
Right.
Or be funny and goofy in the one thing he did.
And bring me up, what was it?
Raising Hope,
yes.
Yeah. And it's
bringing up Hope.
It is such a weird contradiction.
Such a dichotomy, yeah.
Yeah, it's so strange. Anyway, I got to the episode where whatever. That show's now off the air for, 2 years now? So
Spoil Justified, I'm sure.
Yeah, he got shot, and it got gnarly and crazy, and I loved that whole side story about those ex-military guys. I freaking thought that was great.
Yeah.
Great season. Loving it so far. I think I'm on episode 9, so I'm tearing through it. Watched a bunch last night. Watched that one once today.
No kidding. Yeah. You totally are.
But that Dillahunt guy, I'm telling you, if you got a movie or a TV show and you're like, you know, we need kind of a disarming psychopath type that's kind of handsome but weird as shit, well, who should we hire? Oh, I know. Garrett Dillahunt. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, borderline, angry hillbilly, you know. We're looking for a Peter Krause type, but maybe a little off the edge.
Yeah. He's like, we need, what's it like? We need Ron Howard. Oh, you can't get him? Get Clint then.
Right.
It's like he's the Clint Howard of Krause combination. It's real. He's a freak, and I just want him in all things. I think he's great. He's really, really good. Hey, here's Brian.
Here's a great example. There's a page here called, that's bizarre. Jeff Stoltz totally looks like Garrett Dillahunt.
Who's Jeff Stoltz?
I don't know, but here's put this in the IRC, the Frog Pants IRC.
Yeah, it does look like him. Oh, weird. Look at that.
That comes up when you do a search for Peter Krause, Garrett Dillahunt.
Yeah, they're all kind of the same, these guys. Three of these dudes sort of exist in the same plane.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get him confused with that guy from the Vegas show. Remember Las Vegas? That guy who was in the Transformers movies. You know who I'm talking about?
No. I mean, I know I've seen a Transformer movie, and believe it or not, I've seen a Transformers movie. I think I saw a movie.
Yeah.
But I have not seen, I never watched the show Las Vegas, if you can believe that.
All right, I believe it. Starring, his name is Josh Duhamel or Dumbass, whatever.
Duhamel. He's married to Fergie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Of the Black Eyed Peas, yeah.
Oh, and he's doing just
and
fine.
Her lovely lady lumps.
Great. he's a handsome man, and he was in Las Vegas. You should watch Las Vegas. You'd like that
I
show.
Probably should. I don't know why I don't. Yeah, he does have that kind of unshaven. Mm-hmm. Josh Duhamel does look like Garrett Dillahunt and
a
Peter
little
Krause.
Bit.
There's that kind of chiseled.
Yeah. By the way, that Vegas show uses this as their theme song. That's the whole thing, man.
I wonder if it's, let me see, let me look at Just Watched or justwatch.com and see if it's streaming anywhere.
Gotta be somewhere.
It's about the Montecito Hotel, and I don't know much about that show, but I know that...
I love fake. Aren't they fake, though? That's fake,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Just like the bank, you know, mm-hmm. Al Pacino's hotel.
I love fake casinos in Vegas movies where there's a lot of real ones around and they film them and they talk about them and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he's over at the MGM. Get him back here. We need him stat here at the...
Right.
Archibald or whatever they're going to call it.
Right. I mean, they do make... Exactly. They're not shy about making other hotels real. Mm-hmm. But for this one, no. Not so much.
There must be some kind of deal where they can't pay enough money to, like, get a name behind them or something. I don't know.
Well, I think they also don't... It's not necessarily getting a name behind them. You just don't want any defamation. Because in order for a show like this to be dramatic and, mm-hmm. and freaky and whatever, they kind of have to have... anonymity versus any. You can't say, all right, the Mirage, oh, we've got dead bodies in the back because this was a plot point a couple weeks ago. And
yep, good point. Or the food's poisoned or they can
Lara easily... Lara Flynn Boyle got blown off the roof and died on the strip somewhere.
Yeah, you can't do that.
A stray wind.
You're totally right. The only time they've done it pretty openly, I think, was what's that called? I can't remember the name now. Oh, The Stand. The book, The Stand, and the TV show adaptation used actual casinos, but it was all after society had burned out and gone away, mm-hmm. and all the bad guys were running it. But I love Vegas as a backdrop for stories. It's so good, even though we're probably all going to die there in a month. Anyway,
right?
Is it streaming anywhere? Did you find it?
No, it's not streaming anywhere. Like, you know, usually you get one or two things where you get, well, not streaming anywhere, but you can buy it on iTunes or you can, mm-hmm. you know, buy it here. Nothing. It says, sorry, at the moment we could not find any offers for streaming, buying, renting in the U.S.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't as good as I think it was. I liked it because it was kind of trashy and stupid, and it reminded me of, what's it like? It's like the Love Boat. Imagine the Love Boat concept in that it's a cast of characters, but also every week there's some guest star.
Right.
It's like that. Great. You always had guest stars on there from all
sorts
of walks
of life.
Well,
you know, they come to the hotel, they stay there.
Mm-hmm.
It's something kind of funny. The case, at least the poster that they use on justwatch.com, the season one poster and the season three poster have the same photo of James Caan, but flipped.
Oh.
Like, you know, everybody else is posed all in their fancy clothes and sitting there like, all right, we're tough, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But James Caan.
He's not in the mood.
Same photo. They just rotate, just did a. Flip horizontal on Photoshop.
That guy's not in the mood. He was in both. He was in three Godfather movies, or two of them anyway.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Sure.
So he's doesn't need no crap. They called him. Yes, Mr. Caan, we need you to come out and reshoot our cover for season three. I'm not coming in.
Shoot you.
Yeah, y'all are lame. Screw you guys. I'll send my boy Scotty over there, and Scott Caan can do it. Anyway,
he'll do anything.
He will do anything. He'll do Hawaii 5-0. It turns out.
Now, this might say it's on Hulu. Let me see here. Las Vegas TV show Hulu.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking. Okay. Hulu.com TV.
Searching.
Oh, for Pete's sake, no one is. Who's watching? Mm-hmm. I'm not. Nobody's watching. I'm just curious.
Damn it, Hulu.
No, it doesn't even. Fisher Stevens. Suck, suck, suck. Oh, it's not Fisher Stevens.
It's not Fisher Stevens. We can't find it.
Just suck, suck, suck.
Yeah. No good? Nothing?
No. Does not look. Never mind. It does not look like. It does not look like Las Vegas is streaming on Hulu. Right. That seems like it shouldn't come up as the first search result.
You'd think.
Las Vegas TV show streaming Hulu.
Yeah. You'd think it. Well, maybe that's because people just assume it's there and then they create a Google search out of it. Yeah. Probably what's going on. All right. Anyway, we're doing this, guys, right here.
I like to eat.
Well, in this case, drink. We're going to drink a Surge. Is it a cola? What is it?
No, it's like this was Coke's flavor. Answer to Mountain Dew and Mellow Yellow and all those, but more caffeine, more of an energy drink. Not quite a Monster.
Mm-hmm. And this came out, what? This was 90s, right? Early 90s?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't 80s.
No.
It's too far back.
Like, mid-90s. This was in... This was right in the EMF territory.
Yep. Again, this is sent... Excuse me. It was sent to us by Luke. Luke sent it, barbecue guy from Texas. And he sent us these old retro drinks. Now, when was this bottled or canned? I want to see how old this is. This very specific.
I'm sure this is newer. It's funny. They probably don't have to put it on the... Oh, here we go. No, it's good until September 4th, 2017.
Oh, we're good.
We're totally good.
We're good. One of our stories today is about the world ending in September, so we are even good there. It's fine. All right, let's crack it open.
By the way, in Norway, it was marketed as Urge.
Urge? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that seems creepy and weird for some urge. Reason. I don't like Urge. I have an urge.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. Oh.
There's your sound right there.
Yeah. Put that in the Foley box. Okay. I've never had a Surge, so this is new to me.
I had them back in 97, I'm sure.
I hope this is clean, this lip thing. All right, here we go. Mm. It's a little, it's like it would Mountain Dew with a little tang in there. Mm. I guess, isn't it?
Mountain Tang.
Mm. I played banjo for them for years.
Did you? Yeah, Mountain Tang was a bluegrass band, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they were so good. They were so ahead of their time.
A bunch of astronauts.
Forget picking on. They were the guys. you know, I don't mind here. This. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I like a good Surge. I think Surge is good. I don't want a bunch of caffeine, though, and I guess I'm going to get that if I drink this.
Right. Just looking here to see. Surge was re-released to convenience stores across the eastern United States on September 7th, 2015. November 16th, 2015, Burger King restaurants released a slushy version called Frozen Surge.
Yeah.
Limited edition.
That's some creative shit right there.
January 11th, 2017, just a couple months ago, Cinemark Theaters released a slushy version of the beverage called, hope you're ready for this, Surge Frozen.
Why isn't it just called Slurge?
Slurge.
Yeah. Slushy
Gosh,
Surge.
I don't know why, because that sounds so appetizing.
Slurge. It's almost like, what's the thing on Futurama?
Slurm.
Slurm, yeah. Make it a slurm. Just go for it and market it.
Just go slurm.
Yeah. Here is your caffeine content as compared to its competition. Surge has 51 milligrams of caffeine. That's a high amount of caffeine. Mm-hmm. However, it is beaten by the following. With 52.8, Mellow Yellow. With 54, Kick Citrus. Never heard of that. Mm-hmm. I played keyboards, guitar for them.
For Kick Citrus?
Yeah, they were great. And Diet Mountain Dew, 55 caffeine milligrams. So wow. Surge is the lowest of the top 12 ounces. That surprises me. So, all right, I'm going to keep drinking this Surge then because I can do Mountain Dew and not die. So it's fine.
Yeah, well, just keep in mind it's, it may be on the low end, but it's still got a pretty decent amount of caffeine. So how's finish it by
to,
7.
How much does that compare to coffee, I wonder? See, caffeine versus coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, somebody actually wrote this.
Yeah.
Is Surge... Okay. The irony of Surge's demise was that Mountain Dew contained more caffeine with 55 milligrams. By contrast, only 51. Well, yeah, I'm looking for...
Irony.
I'm looking for a combo.
Irony of it all.
I don't get it. All right, how many milligrams of caffeine is an average cup of coffee? If it's one cup a day, it... is, let's say it's 6 fluid ounces. There's no answer. Oh, 71 milligrams. So it's 21 milligrams more, or 20 more milligrams for coffee than it is for Surge. So Surge is still less than coffee.
Yeah, wow.
I'm going to make a bulletproof
Surge. Kind of a masculine, emasculated coffee. Emasculated Mountain Dew.
Yep, basically. Citrusy, though. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Thanks for sending those again, Luke. That was awesome. And we love you for it. You know what time it is now, don't you?
I do.
All right. Hold on to your butts, because here comes this.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the afternoon news, and it's brought to you by
Frog Pants, the officially unofficial modified Minecraft server and pack of the Frog Pants community and sister server for Final Score MC, is relaunching. Join us on our server and on Twitch, where our pack is in the app, this Friday, March 24th at 4:30 p.m. in the only time zone that matters, or 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Learn more at frogtech.net, that's FROGTEK.net, or find us in the Curse Twitch app under Frog Tech, again, FROGTEK.
Kind of cool. It's nice to see that come back.
Yeah.
At the height of that thing, it was, that thing was rocking.
The Minecraft server, yeah, no kidding.
I used to be able to walk. In fact, I remember one time walking into that server, and somebody had built a giant billboard-sized version of the TMS artwork.
I remember that.
Me and you standing there right next to each other in giant pixelated glory. It was great.
Monoliths.
I don't know. Yes, to the community and so much more.
Right.
All right. Let's do some news. Jimmy Buffett. You like Jimmy Buffett? Is that a guy?
He's all right.
Yeah. Tell me where you stand. I want to know where you stand on Jimmy Buffett.
I own the Songs You Know by Heart album, right? Yep. The greatest hits collection. I don't own anything else. I dated a girl named Joanna, whose parents were major parrot heads.
Okay.
And would like not only go see him anytime he came to Colorado, but any of the neighboring states, and even probably some of the, you know, slightly further neighboring states.
They called them parrot heads?
Parrot heads are the fans of Jimmy Buffett. Yeah.
Never heard of that. All right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know he had like a, it sounds like deadheads or something like
that. Yeah. It kind of is the equivalent.
Weird.
But they're all older, middle age, and instead of tie-dye and acid, it's Hawaiian t-shirts and Bartles and James.
Wow.
Well, I guess Hawaiian t-shirts and margaritas would probably be the the better description.
That's awesome. I'm loving that.
So I wouldn't say I'm indifferent on Jimmy Buffett. I think he does one thing. He does it very well. And that's not necessarily my thing. Maybe if I'm sitting in a tropical place and I'm enjoying a margarita, I might say, oh, put on some Cheeseburger in Paradise or Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes. But for the most part, if you know,
it's, all I know is the Margaritaville one. That's all I know. I feel
that's the only song you know.
That's the only one I can think of. And all those other ones you said, I don't know.
Changes,
I mean, I'm sure
latitude,
I know them.
Changes in Attitude.
Changes in Latitude.
Yeah, come on, you know that one.
All right, let me just. I honestly,
I'll give
can't
you about
think
five that I know you absolutely know.
Changes in Latitude. Changes in Attitude. Okay, videos. All right, I'm just gonna play a bit of it and then see if I can recognize it.
Latitudes and Attitudes. That's it.
That's some kind of
live version. Wow. Let
me skip ahead.
I took off for a weekend last month.
Oh, okay. It's been a while, but yeah.
Give you another one.
Give me another
Come
one.
Monday.
Come Monday.
Mm-hmm. I should just sing these for you. I'll bet you get them.
Here we go. Not yet. Still not ringing a bell.
Jump in about a
San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show.
Nope.
Got to get to the chorus on this one.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
They missing your soul. Here we go. Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Nope. Don't know it.
Really? Okay. Let me give you another one. Okay. Cheeseburger in Paradise.
That sounds really good, but okay. So Cheeseburger in Paradise. Here we go. Play a little bit. Oh, this is ringing a bell.
Tried to amend my carnivorous habit.
Okay, I remember that one. Oh, that sounds really good right now, dude. Doesn't a cheeseburger sound good?
It does sound good. I did I had a burrito supreme for lunch. I went out to Golden Creek.
Yeah.
And I walked up and down the creek, like down one side, crossed the bridge, up the other side. It's 72 degrees out here. It's just such a beautiful day. I had to be outside.
Yeah. Just to get a fresh wave of not. Oh, by the way, Lucky you. It's snowing here again. I hope this is coming your direction.
We're getting it tomorrow. Yeah.
Effing snow. What is that about? We were all done with this. It was 75 degrees yesterday.
People get so, they lose their memories about the weather. March is the second snowiest month in our area, Scott, in Colorado and Utah.
I know. And
February's the snowiest and March is the second snowiest. And it's going to happen. And people just need to deal with it and not freak out like they're doing on the news.
Well, listen, when I went to Vegas in April of 2013...
Well, that doesn't count. That's a whole different thing.
That was a freak event, but I still have a trip coming up in April to Vegas, and if it freaking snows again, just have an open standing reservation at the Beaver Hotel I stayed in.
Just make sure you pack plenty of Starbucks cups to urinate in.
I need urine cups. I need warmer clothes, that's for sure. That sucked. Anyway, the whole point is Jimmy Buffett's launching Margaritaville retirement homes. Never really got to the point. But anyway, he's launching literally a branded retirement home community, a series of them for people who are old and want to go there to sort of live out the rest of their lives.
Waste away again.
Basically, yes. It seems dumb to me, but whatever. Apparently they're going to...
It is a weird... It seems so... it seems like there's a very specific market that's gonna love this, yep. Right? It's like, oh, my God, I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. Here's where I want to live. But, God, I mean, if you're not a fan, it seems like the most abhorrent way to live your final days.
I agree.
Like, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I bet you every Friday is Margarita Friday. Mm-hmm. I bet you...
Cheeseburgers all around.
Music is playing, exactly. Music is playing nonstop in the clubhouse.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised. It's super dumb. And by the way, could you milk your song a little more, Jimmy Buffett? Could you just...
Exactly.
Right. A little bit more. Just
welcome
milk
to
it.
Welcome to our community. Here's your keys and here's your flip-flops. Yeah. You can wear these. Here's a Hawaiian shirt you can wear every Friday for Margarita Friday.
Keep the pen. That's all I think it was, retirement stuff with Seinfeld.
It's Margaritaville phase two.
Yeah. There it is. My wallet's gone. All right, let's keep moving here. How about the end of the world has been predicted again.
Well, end of the world will be the end of the year.
Sure.
Really.
Let's see. No interviews. I want to find that guy. Here he is, Harold Camping once again.
No interviews. No interviews.
No interviews.
No interviews. I'm talking through my nose.
I mean, Zeus rest his soul and all, but whatever. Yeah. The guy was a little nuts. There is a new prediction about the end of the world. It's supposed to happen on September 23rd of this year.
Okay, sure.
So it says here, it's one of the more...
The 23rd of September, that day I'll always remember.
Is that an actual song about the 23rd?
Well, no, it's just the 3rd of September.
Oh,
but it's,
all right.
Papa Was Rolling Stone by the Temptations.
You'll recall, Brian, that you and I were doing this show on December 21st, 2012.
Right, the first day the world was supposed to end.
Yeah, or one of many. I guess there's always one. But that didn't end then. It kept happening. And now they say... this one, it's called the Blue Moon Apocalypse, and let's see, it's coming down in a few months' time. The Christian website Unsealed has put... Hey, you know what? I'm not going to call it a Christian website like this article. I think that you can separate these people from real Christians.
I really do. Yes,
because come on now. Anyway,
they're Christian extremists.
Let's call it people who believe in Jesus, and then everything else is nutso.
Right.
So I can believe in a good hot brisket.
Christian is the point on the map at which they started.
Yes.
Who knows what direction or what path they've taken.
Right. It's like hard to say. Like, you could say, oh yeah, that Jim Jones guy or whatever his name was, he was a Christian, but I didn't end up that way, dude. Freaking killed everybody with Kool-Aid and shot himself in the head like a puss.
Mm-hmm.
I love that documentary about that. Anyway, I mean, I don't love it. It's not that kind of entertaining, but I've always been fascinated by
it. Like, it is fascinating, yeah.
That stuff is so weird to me. Like the David Koresh stuff and all that, I just don't get it. Anyway, they have predicted the rapture will occur on the 23rd this year. Mm. And the prediction is based on an astronomical alignment that will occur over Jerusalem on the 23rd. This alignment will represent what they are calling Revelation 12 sign and come from a literal reading of Revelation 12, 1 through 5. I'm going to read it to you. You ready?
Okay.
This is,
welcome,
I think this
to
is.
Still Revelations Unraveled.
This is. My name is... And as we know. Oh my gosh. We haven't heard from him in a while.
No, so, we haven't.
What, as we know.
What's his current brand of crazy?
I don't know. We should probably look him up and see what he's doing. But End Times, End Times is where I'm at with him. And here's End Times for you right here.
End Times.
Yeah. That's a good one. It's a good one. This one's short.
End Times.
But this one.
End Times.
That's creepy long.
Yeah, here's another end long one. Times. Here's a long one too.
And the co-prophet of these end times.
See, he likes to just...
End Times.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, so the deal is this. Here's the reading. And this is like from a newly... This is like a New World Translation, not like the old King James one or whatever. So it sounds a little more modern. But anyway, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. The enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Wow, that's some dark shite going on.
No kidding.
The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. You could rinse it off, dragon. Just rinse it off. I mean, you're not. I mean, come on. I'm all for, you know, listen, you and your baby sacrifice. You do you, but just a little hose or something. I mean, come on. Anyway, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. So they've interpreted this to have some... something's happening, and I don't understand how it's connected to September 9th or 23rd, but whatever.
No, I don't either.
All right, fine. Bring it. Whatever. I got video games to buy in November, so I hope it hurries and comes and goes and doesn't do anything.
Should I buy BlizzCon tickets?
Oh, yeah, this will be right before BlizzCon, won't it?
Yeah, a little month and a half before, but, man, well, I guess I'm going to go ahead and buy them, and, you know, if I'm out that money because the world ends, then...
Listen, if a dragon, if a giant dragon creature eats you, it's not going to matter anyway. Money was nothing, so let's just go to BlizzCon. Oh, my Lord. Stupid are coming, is the phrase for that. Stupid is coming into September. Koalas in the news. Thank goodness. We haven't had any koala news in a while.
Yeah, about time.
I agree. They don't like water, but they like being drunk. And apparently they are being driven to drink by climate change. Koalas have some what some would consider the dream life. They eat and sleep all day.
There's nothing about them getting drunk. They just don't like water, but the climate change is making them drink.
They're going to drink until they're drunk.
What are you doing after work today? I'm going to go eat some eucalyptus and then have a drink.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't there a... this is reminding me of something. A movie...
It's really helping that they were getting drunk based on your...
Well, aren't there aliens? There's a movie with aliens in it that if they drink water, they get drunk. I know I'm remembering that right. What is that? Water is like really... I'm not thinking of Signs where it's deadly to them. I mean, like...
Right. No.
What was that?
There was something like that. Was it Mork and Mindy? Didn't Mork get drunk when he had just water?
That was it, I think. I think it was Mork and Mindy.
Or was it... I mean, I remember he drank with his fingers, but...
Was it maybe it wasn't water, though. You're right. Maybe. I don't know. Chat room, come on. Help us out here. Who was this? There was some deal.
It's totally familiar.
Was it Alien Nation? No. Fricks. I mean, I thought of Alien Nation when I said it. Oh, they say maybe it is Alien Nation.
Oh, really?
Let's see. Let me do a quick check.
Oh, milk. Getting drunk on milk.
Oh, milk instead of booze. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I liked Alien Nation for the hot minute it existed. It wasn't here very long. Anyway.
Never mind. That was... what should we call it? Across the Eighth Dimension. What's his Buckaroo Banzai?
Oh,
was John Big Bonbute or what is it, or whatever his name was?
A movie I've never
Big
seen.
Bute. Oh, really?
Yep. Film sack for sure someday.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think we've almost had it a couple times and it got pulled. Anyway, thanks to climate change, our marsupial friends are being driven to drink more water than ever before. Their leaves are simply drying up. That's normally where they get their moisture. It's a phenomenon that led researchers at the University of Sydney in Australia to conduct a long-term study. That's a terrible accent. I'll never do it again. On the impact of water on koala populations and its potential benefits. Even it's even seen them set up special drinking stations just for koalas. Increasingly hot and dry conditions means more droughts and heat waves affecting the koala's habitat. It is believed the koalas are particularly vulnerable to climate change because they rely exclusively on trees to not just get their sleep and their food, but also the bulk of their other activities and their water, it turns out. So,
there you go.
Science talk from the show.
I had no idea. I guess that, you know, you never see a koala because it's not like they're going to hold a cup in their hand. I mean, they're going to have to go to a creek bed or something like that and go, yep, 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 yep. You know, you never, you always see them in trees. You never see them out of the trees.
Maybe they can make, they take their dry leaves they got now and they just make a little cup out of it. A little, you know, make a little Dixie
just
cup.
Have them hold that and drink out of it.
Yeah,
sure.
A little cone. Let's see how that would work. Final news. Parrots are, now these are really getting high. This is for real.
No parrot heads.
No. These are parrots. These are actual parrots. I'm just into the animals today. Parrots high on drugs. And they're ignoring farmers by plundering poppy fields to fill their to feed their opium addiction. So apparently,
okay, now we're talking.
Now they're high inebriated animals. For sure. They're totally high, but in this case, they're literally they go and they eat these poppy fields, and they've gotten hooked on the stuff. They're literally junkies. They have to go keep getting it, and so
that's fantastic.
The freaking the farmers are all pissed. Man, this surge is coming back, surging back. It says they perched and wait until the morphine-rich area is exposed by workers slitting open the flower pods to help them ripen. The parrots then swoop down in silence into the opium fields. They've learned not to squawk and frantically nibble off the stalks below the pod before they are seen. Video shows them retreating to high branches where they gorge on the plants, leaving them sleeping for hours, even falling to their death sometimes.
Oh, no.
Oh, dude, I had a real night last night. Polly wants a cracker in the
parrot opium dens. Yeah. I'm just visualizing, yeah.
Paropium, they call it. This phenomenon was first reported in 2015, but this year has spread across other regions for the first time. Farmers now claim they're getting warnings from the government's narcotics department. The narcotics department, which controls opium farming over their reduced yields. Sabrahim Rathod. How would you say that? Rathod?
I would say Rathod, yes. Okay, Sobraham.
Not Rathod.
Subharam Rathod.
Yeah. I like Sobraham Rathod.
Sobraham Lincoln.
Yeah. An opium farmer in Nemach, India, estimates parrots are stealing around 10% of his crop, and he has been given a warning. Well, how is it his fault?
Yeah, why has he been given a warning?
Yeah. Warn the birds. Don't come over here again, Grant. Don't come over here again. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it is Dan. He'll be here talking board games and tabletop for the week, and that'll be good. So we'll do that in a sec. We also have your Twitter questions coming up for the Ask DMS hashtag. Before that, though, music.
Dude, you're going to love this. Mm. How about some synth pop to close out the week? This is the band Justin or DeJustin. It's Justin with a D in front of it. So I think you pronounce it. I'm going to guess that D is silent. I don't know.
It's like Django. The Django.
Like pterodactyl. Right. Like Django. Right. Mm-hmm. Justin. Anyway. These guys are awesome. And their new album is Voyagers, which comes out May 5th on Labrador Records. You're going to want to pre-order this thing because it's so, so good. Mm. Here you go. Here is Justin and their song, Dancing. Django!
Justin! Django. Okay, close. It's not quite. Here's Dancing. We'll see you guys in a sec.
Shove it up. boy. Don't think you need to play it safe at all. You know the sound, just move along and feel the beat. Don't stop, no talk, better heat things up. Fish on, feel hot right now, shove it up. Show me some things I've never seen before. You know the room until I'm seeing stars. Give me a thrill to make me feel in awe. Just a room to dance for and keep it up.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That was really good.
Yep. Reminds me of Phases a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little Phases in there. Yeah. Good call. Totally wasn't thinking Phases, but you're right. Totally Phases.
Totally Phases.
We like Phases. We're fans of Phases here on the podcast.
Big fans of Phases.
Yeah, they're real good. Are they doing anything else, or was that the one-off deal? I
have not heard anything new from Z-Berg about a new album from Phases.
That's a bummer. I think that we should have more from those fine people.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Hey, guys, guess what? Guess what's happening now? We got a little something for you. How about this right here? This little sound here. Wait. Shoot, where'd it go? Shit. It's not here. All right, I'll just play this again.
Django!
It's Dan the Tabletop Man, everybody, with the wrong theme song. Dan, what's going on?
Greetings, programs.
Hey, dude.
How's it going, boys?
Doing good.
You can spell Dan with the letters in Django, oddly enough.
Oh, that's true. You can.
There's no coincidence whatsoever.
Dan's got two N. They got two N's in your name, right? Or two D's? No, he's got a normal name. It's all just Dan. Yep. Look at you in the red sweater. That's a good look for you. I like it.
It was cold today. It's this is the last grasp of winter in North Carolina, because I think it's going to be 70 for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
something like that.
We had snow today, but it was 75 yesterday. So I don't know what's going on. It's insane. Yeah. And I say those numbers, and all the Europeans are like, "What the hell numbers are those? You should all be dead at 75." No, no, no. We're not talking Celsius. You chuckleheads. It's very different. It's probably more like, what would that be, like 30? Wait, how's it work? Zero, absolute zero is freezing.
Well, absolute zero is like negative 700 and something.
Yeah, that's true.
Zero is freezing, zero. Which is 32 degrees.
Oh, right. Okay, so 32 degrees for us. So 30 Celsius would be like 70 here, right? Or 70 Fahrenheit, right?
Yeah, something like that. Right. Yeah, it's not a straight, like,
it's not a straight conversion.
Just add 40 to here and then you add 40 to there. There's the multiplication.
It's really weird the way the increments go, too.
Yeah, it's space points is what it is.
I got a good Jimmy Buffett story.
Oh my gosh! Lay it on us. Give us your Jimmy Buffett story.
So right after I'll shorten it a bit. But right after I graduated pharmacy school, a buddy of mine was like, "Hey, I got some Jimmy Buffett tickets." I was like, "Great, yeah, we'll go." And of course, he's like, "Yeah, but you got to drive." I was like, "Great." Yeah. So I had to be the DD this night. So of course, everybody is just completely loaded. We're leaving this place, and I'm just trying, and I'm still scared because I was in my 20s. I was still scared. I hadn't had a drop to drink, but I'm still scared. I have to pull over because my buddy is just puking his face off.
Oh, no.
Just absolutely puking. Yeah. Cops come by, and I'm like, "Oh, this is it. We're dead." So the cop over the loudspeaker goes, "Have another," as he just drives past.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah, I swear to you, it was hilarious. So I was like, "Well, good. At least they have a good sense of humor about the concert."
So when you were in pharmaceutical school pharmacy school, did they have nicknames for certain commonly abused drugs? Like, did you have like a special name for opioids or a special name for any of that stuff, or is that too long ago that nobody thought of doing it?
Well, you kind of come up with little funny little drugs that you kind of don't necessarily want to use at all. They used to call it Demerol, they used to call it Demonol.
Oh, see,
it's not really a great drug. It's okay for the right situations, especially in hospital base, but right. As far as like people getting it in day-to-day life, it's not great at all.
Well, Brian, what was the thing the other day, the names the guy was using for the drugs, that preacher? It was something like cocaine was like Carrie and
Special K. Like, he had names for them. Like,
I love that. I don't know why.
Well, all those street drugs have a lot of, even
right. Molly.
Roofies. There's roofie refers to like a bunch of different things, and they're usually benzos. Usually things like clonopin and stuff like that, just because they just give you that short term amnesia, so they have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, clonopin in the right dose can knock you out pretty good, right? So, go ahead and call
it. Well,
it
depends on, especially if people don't. It's a short, it's fairly short acting, and fairly rapid onset too, so depending on a dose, how susceptible a person is, alcohol intake, things like that. People can get pretty messed up on benzos, and especially usually that's followed with opioids and things that, it's just I think prescription, I don't want to get on my high horse, but or my soapbox, but prescription abuse is so much worse in this country than illicit drug use, just because it's a lot harder to prosecute. And I would say, I don't want to say less people die from it, but there's a lot less shootings and things like that because of prescription drug abuse.
Yeah,
because
you can get your doctor to do it. You go in and get it. Like for a lot of your abuse, you're just getting it all on the legit, but you're still a total junkie.
There's doctor shoppers, and some people, you know, there are people that they just come in every 30 days for the same thing, and they just get it, and they could be selling it. They could be taking it themselves to get high, or just, you know, I'm not saying everybody. No, this is the usual pharmacist is everybody is a druggie. And everybody's abusing everything, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there are people that are up to nefarious deeds with their medications, and it sucks.
Do you ever have anybody come in and try to get horse tranquilizers from you? Because that's the big thing now, isn't it?
Well, what you get is I've had plenty of people forging scripts, and when they get really desperate, people try to call in their own scripts because there are drugs that you can call in, like benzodiazepines, you know, like your Xanax and your things like that. You can actually call those in from the doctor's office. So people will call in and be like, hi, this is a prescription for Scott Johnson.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you don't have to prove who you are or nothing. You can just do
I mean, there's a certain cadence you kind of know who the nurses are at these offices.
Yeah.
But I've had it at times where a woman called in her own prescription. It was somebody who was in so often that I was like, this is definitely her. And they left it on a voicemail. Like, we don't, where I work now, we don't really have voicemail for this sort of thing. We talk directly to the nurses. But I mean, I was sitting there and a woman comes in. She's like, I have a prescription for Xanax. They called it in today. I'm like, no, they didn't. She's like, no, I was there. I said, yeah, you called it in. She's like, oh, no, I didn't. I was like, this is you. I have it on the phone right here. It's you. And she's like, no.
So you got to
Let me go. Let me go home and call my doctor. And she ran out of there.
So you got to call her on it. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. I mean, wow. When you have forgeries, the amount of forgeries there are in the industry is amazing. I mean, you'll probably go, man, at its height, at its worst I've ever had, maybe every other week you'd get a forgery.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, there are rings for this sort of thing. It is huge. I mean, and so, they're just selling it. And
well, what if, okay, what, sorry to keep going on this because I know we have board games to talk about, but I'm just curious about some of this underbelly stuff is just really interesting to me. Maybe it's because I'm watching that last season of Justified and it's always about drug running in Kentucky.
Right, exactly. Yeah, prescription drugs in the wrong hands in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's basically the moonshine of the modern day. but I, this trend where you can get an app and if your insurance supports it, you can basically just text a doctor and he'll go, what's the matter? Oh, I'm coughing a lot. All right, get a Z-Pack and then you can get a prescription right there called into your local hoo-ha. That seems so shady to me. And I know you can do it. I think Brian has that on your insurance, don't you, Brian? Or somebody like that I know does. Maybe it's Tom. Oh, yeah, it was Tom.
I don't think it's me. Yeah.
It was Tom. That's who it was. Because he had the same kind of chesty thing I'm dealing with. And he got his prescription and his diagnosis and everything through this app that his insurance supports. And there was no physical conversation with a doctor. There was no guy.
So the guy didn't pop up on the other. See, I've seen him where you have your phone and you almost like FaceTime with the doctor. And it's real, real quick. And it's usually for light things like that. Hey, you know, I've got this cough. I'm not feeling good. These are my symptoms. All right, great. I saw you. I can knock it down as a visit to your insurance, and I'm going to send your prescription right in.
So it's probably not hard. It's probably harder to cheese that thing than it is because it's not like people can go, oh, yeah, doc, I've been real depressed. Needs me some Xanax and handfuls of it stat. Like, they're not going to give you that, right?
There's probably limits. Not going to give you anything controlled, I would assume, unless they'll do that with some cough syrups. But I can't imagine them doing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know those apps or any of those. I'd like to work for a company that just fills in things like that. It'd be nice and easy. You don't have to see anybody. Yeah. Just get all those electronic scripts from the doc in the box and go.
Can you get one final question? Can you, if Brian drank a bunch of codeine, could he become addicted to codeine?
Oh, codeine is very addictive.
Is it really?
Yeah, very. And what's cool? What's cool? I hate to say what's cool, but I mean, you could really get some hallucinations from if you take a little bit too much too. But you've got to take more than just a teaspoon or two to worry about that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and
I mean, when I was
generally,
how much do you think a guy my size would need?
A guy like you. Yeah, you're just trying to get some info there.
You probably need a good 4 ounces before you fall in the right to sleep. And
so when I took that stuff last week, because they had me on it, and I took, I think, maybe 4 nights total or something.
You're not going to get addicted.
The dreams I had, dude,
Oh yeah, that's definitely for sure. You can have some crazy dreams on narcotics like that.
That was jacked up. I made me never want to eat it again or take it again. It helped me, but those dreams.
Have you ever? There's a cough syrup called Tussinex. Have either of you guys ever taken that?
No, it sounds like Robitussin.
It's kind of like that, and it looks like pure snot. It's just this yellow goo in a
bottle.
That's
how I prefer my snot, by the way, is pure.
Yeah, pure yellow snot for Brian every time. But wait, Brian, you wouldn't like this because it's thick and liquid of the ultimate.
Thick and liquid, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like thick and liquids.
And for whatever reason, it works really, really well, but it's very, very addicted too. It's, a lot of people get hooked on that stuff. But for whatever reason, man, it'll clear that stuff right up.
You had me a pure snot, but you lost me a thick and liquid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pure snot was fine. It's until we said thickened and liquid together.
Yeah,
Ryan really struggles. All right, well, I love this pharmaceutical moments we get to have and talk about the world of druggery. But instead, we're going to talk about the world of gamery and what's going on this weekend with you. What do you got to show us, man?
So I'm going to talk about an IP game. So I was going to get you – we got Star Wars Destiny. It's the first one I'll talk about. Now, I know there's been some tweets and stuff, and I'm not sure if Iceworm included you guys on this, but Star Wars Destiny is kind of like a dice and card version. It's kind of, remember we were talking about Marvel Dice Masters and stuff in the past?
Yep.
Well, Star Wars Destiny is a Star Wars version of kind of that, where it's collectible in a way, and the packs are only like $1.50, $2, or whatever they are, and they have a die and some cards, but it's a one-on-one battle game with cards. You know, it has that Magic the Gathering feel to it.
There's Brian's
with cards and dice.
He's got it too. I also have a starter deck. These are all, I think Iceworm sent me one as well, and I don't know where I put it.
Oh, nice.
But I can't.
No, sort of. I sent it to you.
Oh, you
Scott.
Sent it
I went
to
out
me.
And bought it at Iceworm store, and then.
That's right. That's right. You did. That was really nice of you, by the way. Oh, well, then that thing today I did is just paying you back then. I already owed you for that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, well, now we're even.
The glass two-pack that you're going to get.
Oh, shit. Now I'm behind again. All right.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're still fine.
I'm going to send you this razor blade. No, I don't know. So what's your take on it? I know it's been the rage. Everybody talks about the Star Wars game.
It's really, really good. Yeah. It's a lot of fun because I played it with my wife, with my daughter, with my son, and it's easy to pick up. I mean, people, kids as young as 10 can pick it up because it's not very hard. I mean, there's some, you can get really into the strategy of it all, and you could really get deep into that and making your deck and stuff. But I just played just a starter version just to see how they would pick it up, and they all loved it. Hmm. And it's fast. I mean, you could play a game in about 30 minutes.
Hmm.
Brian, have you gotten to play it?
I have not. It's still, I took it with me to Seattle thinking that after the trivia thing, George and I get a chance to play it. We never did. So it is still, the box is open, but everything inside is still wrapped in plastic.
If you haven't read the instructions yet, I'll Slack you guys.
It does look
simple. Instructional video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a Fantasy Flight is really good about their instructional videos. The guy's voice, it sounds like he should be Emperor Palpatine. The voice the guy does, but he, it's like a 10-12 minute video. It teaches you everything and it's easy to learn. It kind of walks you through a game. You watch it once, you'll know exactly. I mean, the rules are like two pages. It's like front and back of a page. But this kind of walks you through it so much easier because there's only a couple things you can do on your turn. So it makes it so much easier than something like Magic, where it's like 100 things going on, a billion things. I mean, you could get heavy into that construction of it, but it's just easy to play. So, I mean, you can make it as easy or as hard as you'd really like it to be.
I would like to play a sound file that describes everything Brian owns. You ready? Here it is.
Wrapped in plastic.
Everything he has is wrapped in plastic. That's not true, obviously, but it's always going to be like, hey, I got one of those, and you'll pull it away from somewhere, and it's always...
It's like I still haven't opened it to enjoy it.
You got like a retail store. You're like an H&M or whatever back there. Not H&M. That's closed. Anyway.
And I always feel bad when I have a bunch of games on the shelves that I haven't even opened yet. And you're like, you're so excited to get these things. And then they stay wrapped in plastic for like a year. And you're like, man, I should have played that.
So the set you just showed and the set Brian showed and the set I have, is that enough for two people to sit down and play?
If you have one of each starter, you should have a Rey and a Kylo Ren starter. If you have one of each, you can play the game. I don't think you can play it with just the one side.
Okay. All right. That's a thought. But you can, like any it is truly a CCG. It's a deck builder, but kind of also not, right? Like,
well, no. See, deck building and CCG are a little bit different. So deck building, when you're deck constructing with things like Magic the Gathering or Star Wars Destiny, deck building is, and I'll just throw this right out there for you, Hogwarts Battle. Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle. This is a deck building game.
Oh, all right.
So deck building is when you start off with just a couple of cards and you acquire cards throughout the normal course of the game and you're building the deck. Mm. So that's deck building. So, and you both have access generally to the same cards.
Mm.
So the good thing about the Harry Potter game is it's cooperative against the game in a deck building game.
Well, that was going to be my question. How, I mean, in the world of video games, sometimes licenses mean death for the game. Like, that's usually not the selling point. Many poorly made video games use good licenses. So how is that in the tabletop?
It usually means death too, but some companies, Fantasy Flight's real good about IP games. Gale Force 9 is the company that they did the Star Trek Ascendancy, which was one of my favorite games of last year. And they also did the Firefly game. So they're really good. And they've got a Doctor Who game coming out, which I don't know a whole lot about, but it's supposed to be pretty good too. And then USAopoly came out of nowhere with the Hogwarts game. So, I mean, all of these games have been fantastic when it comes to IP. I mean, it's... when you talk about the correlation between good versus the bad IP games, there is a ton of crap.
Yeah. Where would you put all the Cryptozoic IP stuff? Do you think that's average? Okay.
It's somewhere in the middle because I happen to like Cryptozoic. When you talk to hobby board gamers, everybody hates Cryptozoic because they just kind of throw licenses on things. But you have to find the ones that are pretty good. Like, I love the DC Deck Builder game.
Yeah, that one's great. That's
a great game. Mm-hmm. The Penny Arcade stuff, I think Cryptozoic put that out, I can't remember. That's actually pretty good. That's technically kind of, you know, an IP. And some of the other stuff is really good, but they have a few goose eggs that are in there.
Yeah.
Like Portal's so-so.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge
The Walking Dead game was kind of bad.
Well, the Walking Dead game, it depends on which one you're talking about, because they've got about three or four of them. There's a Walking Dead card game that I brought actually to Nerdtacular a few years ago. It's basically based on another game called Six Nimit, which is it's just kind of like zombies thrown on a cards and another version of the game you can play. But the game itself, it's just reskinned. You know, it just has zombies on it, but it's so much. That game is very strategic, very easy to learn. So if you ever see the card game in a while called Six Nimit, or if you happen to have the Walking Dead, the card game, it's a real small box. I mean, it's pretty much like the size of this, real small. That's actually good. But the board games that Cryptozoic put out for Walking Dead, yeah, they're crap too.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, the board game is the one I played, and I thought it was kind of
disappointing.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah, there was another company a few years ago, and I can't remember who it was that put out. It was more comic book based, the Walking Dead comic book based, and this was as the show was, I think it was just first starting to come out, and it's decent. It's pretty sprawling. It's rulesy, but it's actually decent, and it has some good art from the comic itself.
Mm. Oh, Six Nimit, not Minute.
Yeah, Nimit. Yeah, that's somebody I think put it in the chat for you.
Gotcha.
Six Nimit.
Okay.
And it's hard to say. There's been a lot of versions of that, but the original Six Nimit is just really, really good game.
Mm. Okay.
There might even be an app for it, but not. Can we leave you one thing?
Yes.
Can I leave you guys one thing? There's an app sale for the next few days.
Yeah.
Till the 26th. There's some good apps on there. Ticket to Ride is on there for $2. Small World 2 for the iPad and also PC. Well, the iPad, it's $2. That's a lot of fun because you can play it against the AI, and it's a really good app. Splendor is also cheap for iOS. Potion Explosion, which is kind of the board game version of a Match 3. So it's kind of weird playing it on the app, but it's not too bad. Mm. And also Cult Express, which I highly recommend, is only $3. I just wanted to get everybody those app sales.
Small World, you said?
Yeah, Small World, a great game.
I've seen that before in hobby shops and stuff, and I never... Let's see, I'm trying to...
And it's right here, Asmodee.
Asmodee Online.
Okay. That one's interesting to me. I mean, everything you mentioned, I either own or that one I heard of, but I don't know.
And Small World it has a pretty good tutorial in there. And now Small World 2 is the one I think that actually has multiplayer, but it's a great solo just... piddling around and you know, on a train or online at a, you know, at a grocery store or something, because, you know, it's not real time. It's not like it's waiting for you to do your stuff. So it's turn based. So it's a great pickup or a put down game.
And I'm going
to
make a recommendation for you.
Is that right?
That it's a card game. And Brian knows what I'm going to talk about here, I'm sure, because we've been talking about this a bunch. But my favorite game of 2015/2016 on iOS was probably Card Crawl. I loved that game and I played the hell out of it. And it was basically kind of like this dungeon crawling solitaire card game.
Yep.
Same people came out with Card Thief. This was only a week ago. And I'm pretty deep into it, getting there anyway. And it is this weird, stealthy card game that is awesome. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So if you guys are looking for something original and weird and awesome and with a great art style, and if you even remotely liked the game Card Crawl, Card Thief is an incredible follow-up and should totally be played. So
I loved Card Crawl. Oh, I remember you bringing it up. I love that one. So I'll have to check out Card Thief.
I'll bet you like it even more because it's just got, there's lots of new mechanic-y crap going on. And if you like, I don't know how to explain it. It's a weird combination of stuff. It makes you feel stealthy, but it's just a card with a grid of six spots and you move a card around. Like, it's hard to explain why it's so good, but I really, really
mechanic-y, mechanic-y crap is my DJ name.
Yeah, I know. I love it when you're playing like the crap. You get him in the Palladium and he's up there rocking and he's got his stupid hat on and everything. I love it. Keep that
You'd
up.
Be surprised how well this spikes here.
So it's all the Asmodee Digital stuff that's on sale. There's a lot of stuff they've got. You'd say of all these, Small World 2 is probably the best one to pick up.
Ticket to Ride, you can't really go wrong with Ticket to Ride, but Small World is one of the best. But Splendor, if you like the game Splendor, if you ever played it on a table, it's kind of a polarizing game, but it was one of my favorite games of a few years ago. It's also an excellent game, and they have, what's cool about that is they have little like quest things. They have like little scenarios that they'll set up, and they want you to get this many points in this many rounds and stuff like that. So that's great.
Really,
it's hard. I don't really recommend the Pandemic app,
right?
Which I mean, it would be okay because you're playing all the people in it, but it's kind of, it gets really weird when you're trying to control everybody and play the Pandemic.
It doesn't have the same, that thing does. I've tried that, the app, and it's not the same charm as the board game. It just doesn't translate as well for whatever reason. So I just realized I own Small World 2. I didn't even know I had it. And the reason I have it is because somebody said, oh, you got to try this. And I said, what is it like? And they said, oh, it's like Risk, but not nearly as long and not nearly as overly dumb. And I said,
yeah, and it's true because it is kind of what they call a dudes on the map type game. Mm-hmm. But the it's for if people really like Risk, it's a good correlation. But if somebody like hates the idea of Risk, it's a turnoff. But it's not really meant to be because it's so much faster and plays so much smoother and easier to learn than something like Risk.
All right,
that's a huge.
I'm gonna re-download it. I don't know why I don't have it now, but I'm gonna get it again and I'm gonna play it because you have recommended it. So I'm gonna.
Oh yeah, do the tutorial, and I'm pretty sure there's a pretty good tutorial on it. And if you have any questions, just shoot me a message.
Sweet.
Cool. Downloading right now.
Tell people where they can find more of you when we're not together. Where can they find you?
Check me out at Geek Jock Blog on Twitter and the Geek All-Stars Podcast. This weekend, we are recording our March Madness of board games. We put 4 different years of board games together. So we've got 2016, 11, 6, and 1. And we'll pick like the top 10 games from those years. And we just throw them into a little bracket. And we just argue over it for like 3 or 4 hours. It's a long show, but it's one of our favorite ones to do each year.
Oh, and I almost forgot one final recommendation, although I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know if it's actually good, but if you have an iPad, it's specific to iPad, the iPhone version's not ready yet and the Android version isn't ready yet, but out today on iPad joining PC is that Elder Scrolls Legends kind of Hearthstone competitor based on the Elder Scrolls world, and it's free to play and it looks great, and I want
to. Did you get to play it?
No, I'm going to try it later today.
Oh my god, it's great. Yeah. I played it that one weekend. I played it pretty much the whole freaking weekend. The solo player, the campaign is awesome. They have solo arenas. Yeah. My god, it's great. It scratches a similar itch to Hearthstone, but not it's kind of a clone. I'm sure everybody will say it's clone, but it does enough different where it won't turn you off.
Yeah, I'm excited to play it. I've been meaning to. I knew it was on PC for a while, and I just haven't had time. And with Zelda and everything else that came out, I've just been kind of blindsided. But I'm going to go try it out tonight. And I'm guessing it will run real good on our pros.
My thinking. Beautiful. Looks gorgeous.
It's hot, like a sultry lady in a bikini. Dan, it's always a pleasure. Take it easy. Be well. And don't give anyone codeine when they don't need it or whatever.
You got it. All see right, you, boys.
See you later, man. His camera was so delayed, it was weird. But I'll take it. It's fine.
Yeah, sure. He's fine. It's fine.
Stupid cough. Stop it. All right. We're almost done, but not quite, because we have this to do here. A little thing to play here. Here you go.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
A Secretary of Energy would like us to read Twitter questions.
Whatever that department is.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't know the name of it, but
I just want to get rid of it. I don't know what it is, but let's get rid of it.
Oh, you're giving it to me? Okay, never mind. I'll take it. It's $400 grand a year.
Can I be the boss of it?
Yeah. Here's the questions of what we've got this week anyway. And it says this. Chad Willett says, if you could leave one app on your phone, what would it be? So let's say you get one app only. get it on your phone. And we're not talking, I assume he means that's not a stock app. Like
so no mail or messages or something like that.
Right.
You think I'm going to say Pokemon Go, don't you?
No.
You think I'd say that, but I'm
not going
to say
that. I'm going to guess what you'd say. Can I guess?
Sure.
You're going to say, oh, shit.
That's a really good question.
Now that you're saying it, now I can't think of anything that you would add, like absolutely have to have. I'm not even sure what I'd say.
I mean, Shuffle Cats has been my pickup and play game for months now.
That game's so great.
It is really good. And now they've got like a achievements thing in there that they've just added that's pretty good. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's it.
Shuffle Cats is your thing. I'm going to say, boy, I'm this close to saying Card Thief is... She needs to be on there. I like it that much. I really like it.
Wow, I've just gotten through the tutorial.
Yeah, once you get going and you realize how much infinite replayability, you're going to be like, oh, this is really good. Cool. But that's probably, I mean, probably I'd take like Inbox or some other app that lets me communicate with people. If I'm truly only left with one app forever.
See, that's the thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, because I'd have to think about, well, how am I going to communicate with people and how am I going to make sure my wife's okay? And I'd probably do that. Sam Sellers says, I've been listening to TMS for years, but never have found out the origin of Scott and Brian. How did you guys meet? It's easy. It's simple. Podcasting brought us together.
Right.
We've done this before, haven't we? Have we talked about this before?
Len Peralta was the link that brought us together, because really early on in podcasting, he and Nora reached out to me where I was listening to their show. Mm-hmm. And, they reached out to me for an interview. I was on their show, got to be friends with Len. He says, I'm going to be a guest on this show called The Instance. I'm turning my character in World of Warcraft is turning 60. And so there's kind of this big in-game party for me. I'm like, World of Warcraft. All right, whatever. Mm. So I listened to The Instance and got hooked on that. And,
how we actually talked the first time, I think you were a guest on The Instance.
I was a guest on ELR.
Oh, that's what it was. Because I was listening to Coverville. Plus we had all these connected friends and stuff.
Right.
And then
this connected tenuous strings of tissue connecting.
Yeah. Len Peralta. What we're saying is Len Peralta is our taint. That's what we're saying.
He's our frenium.
He's our frenium. Yeah.
Frenulum.
Yes.
Frenulum. Best frenulum money can buy.
If somebody takes him out, that's a frenulumectomy.
A frenulectomy.
There you go. Still can't say it right. You're doing fine. Yeah, that's how it worked. And then FilmSack was really the moment, though, that mm-hmm. things really happened. And that was the show where I went, oh, I want to do this daily thing with Brian. And I don't know, the rest is just a blurry history. Perfectly. Sam Sellers, that's you. I've answered you now, Sam. So there you go. Peter Fisher says, Parrotheads have a retirement community. In 10 or 20 years, what 80s band will have their own? And he gave some examples. He says AC/DC, Depeche Mode, Van Halen, Devo. What do you think?
Oh, man. Let's see. Yeah, Depeche Mode would be the all-black retirement community.
Yeah, it would be. Totally would be. You have to walk around in lots of emo clothes.
Right, all mopey.
The greatest obsession. I hear their new album's really good, by the way. Single's good. I don't know about the rest of it, but I keep hearing good things about that new Depeche Mode album, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that came out. I haven't listened to any of it.
Peach Ice Cream.
Duran Duran would be the band that would have a retirement community.
What would you call it?
Retirement.
Her name is Rio. Welcome. retirement. I saw a great thing. I saw a photo on some service, some Twitter or something, and it showed two trucks that were running right next to each other, and they were both, there's a trucking company, national trucking company called Duran Trucking.
Yeah.
Like Bill Duran's name.
It's just Duran.
And there were two of them right next to each other, and it says Duran Duran on the back. It's amazing. I don't know what my answer would be. I feel like Van Halen would be a good one, and you could do like, call it,
Van Agen.
Not bad. Call it Jump or something, and off you go. Hey, Laundry Scent says, you ever seen paper? Yeah, I've seen paper. You ever see it? Smell it? Yeah, I've seen paper lots of times. And I want to see that movie again. It's been a while. It's time. Mm-hmm. Jeff or Slippy Whippy on Twitter says, my lady and I are expecting our first child. Is that cool to still say? My lady and
I? My lady and I. What, are you... Are you in the 70s in a plush velvet house?
Yeah. Is she your woman other times?
My lover and I.
Yes. Put on some yacht rock. My lady and I will be here dancing.
Congratulations to you and your lady.
Yeah. They're having a kid, though. He says, you guys have perfect families. How do I prepare for this? Help, help, it's happening. There's no such thing as a perfect family.
But we have our problems, too.
Yeah, but there is such a thing as if you care about your kids, it's pretty easy. It's not that hard. I don't look back on any of it and go, oh, man, what a rough patch that was. I look on it all very fondly, even though the rough patches were there. So,
Yeah.
Just love your kid. You'll be fine.
That's the thing. That's totally key right there.
Yeah, that's it. Just love them. Easy. Lowy D, where and wow would you want to live forever, Brian?
Seems like we get this question every 6 months.
Yep.
And I'm still going to say Negrand. Negrand is...
It's pretty good.
I love Negrand.
It's pretty good.
I want to live on one of those floating island things.
Yeah, then you can look. You could pee on those ogres down there, the two-headed ogres.
I could, exactly. Hey, down there!
Hey, what's going on? This sucks. This sucks. They're always two-headed. No, they're not always two-headed. There's the one kind that are two-headed, and then there's the regular-headed.
Right.
For me, Dalaran City. Although the 7.2 trailer that came out today makes me wonder if I really want to live there. Did you see that?
It's turning into a bad neighborhood, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it looks like some rough business outside of Dalaran coming.
I have not looked at the 7.2 trailer yet.
Should watch it. It's great. It's really well done. Those guys, the trailer, the in-game cinematic team are killing it. Taryn Gregory and his team are amazing.
Cool.
Okay. Neil Patel says, what do you think of Super Mario Run? We played it on iOS. I think it was fun. It's not the kind of thing I even thought I would return to constantly, but there's been a nice big update recently and you can play more of it for free and all that, but it's good. It's a fine first effort from Nintendo. What I really want from Nintendo on mobile is like a game like Animal Crossing, which would just totally fit perfectly.
Yes.
You know? Yes. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get that on the Switch, so maybe we never will see it on mobile, but that thing got delayed. Got
Animal Crossing on the Switch. I might as well just take a week off from TMS.
No kidding. Corey Smith says, Breath of the Wild or Horizon Zero? I'm going to say get both of those damn games and play them like a real gamer. Because they're both incredibly good.
I've got...
you've got both.
I've
One's
got Breath.
Wrapped.
No, I don't have Horizon.
Oh, I thought you had it.
Resident Evil is my next thing I'm playing when I hook up the VR again.
Gotcha. So. Good idea. Breath of the Wild and Horizon Zero Dawn are probably the two best games of 2017 for me. And they have some similarities. They're outdoor adventure open world games. Mm-hmm. But they both have very unique... things to say and are both absolutely worth playing. What I hope is people don't feel like they have to pick one over the other. I think they are both absolutely worthy of your time. They're excellent games.
But feel free to pick up one while you wait for the other one to go on sale.
Yeah, that's a way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have a Switch, pick up Horizon Zero Dawn because you're not going to get a Switch tomorrow anyway. You've got to wait until those become available again. So
this is true. Sean Dickinson. Wow. Thinking of
Bruce Dickinson.
Got big furry boots and wrapped in Christmas lights. It's the best. Sean Dickinson says, do you two have any pet peeves when it comes to video games? For example, inventory management or character flaws? Here's mine. You ready? It's easy. Mm-hmm. Anything that's timed. Don't give me a clock. I freaking hate it when you're rushing me. Now, if you're going to make me play Boggle, fine. I get it with that kind of stuff. But when you're going to give me a gamer that says, we've got to save the princess. You only have 4 minutes to do it. F off.
You can create the
artificial sense of timeliness if you want. You can say, we got to hurry up and get there. But then let me do what I got to do to get there and just pretend the story has a time thing. But don't actually make it count down so that if I barely get there in time, I don't quite make it. I hate that stuff. I hate it. And many games have it. Breath of the Wild has it. Like lots of games have timing stuff. And I hate that.
Yeah. Like that timing stuff where you've got to... You hit the button, then you've got to run through the circles of before those things disappear.
Yeah, and I also, speaking of inventory management, I can't stand the ones that are having to move stuff around to make it fit. I freaking hate
oh.
it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Tetris style.
I can fit this in my bag, but I've got to make the shirt, which is flat, laid out flat and square.
Yeah, it's dumb. Like Nintendo used to, or Nintendo, Diablo used to be really bad at this, but 3, it fixed it. Like 3 is a good inventory system. I don't mind it if it's smart, but it's sometimes it's just dumb. Like as much as I like that new, what's it called? Path of Exile, which is a great Diablo-like, that's a free-to-play game that's excellent. Very deep, awesome game. I hate their inventory system. With the power of 1,000 hot suns, I hate it. Right. It keeps me from playing it. That's how much I dislike it. So, anyway, there's that.
That's funny.
Anything else?
Inventory management. I mean, I'm trying to think of something I hate more than inventory management. And it's really tough because I am always running out of room in Breath of the Wild. I think I need to buy that house in Naruto Valley or wherever it is.
Yeah. Also, just give me more slots. Or I got a better idea. From the quick swap menu, let me drop inventory from that. So that if I'm getting weapons in Breath of the Wild, I don't have a problem that I'm always getting new ones. What I have a problem with is opening a chest, saying, it's a brand new spear, and then it says, oh, you don't have room, and then you got to go manually remove the thing, then open the chest again, then take it in.
Yes.
Let me do it from the quick menu. Let me have the quick menu. You know, you hold the whatever it is, the D-pad thing, and swipe through.
And let me drop something right
there. Yes. Just have a drop button. It's not a problem. That they could patch that in, Nintendo. What are you doing?
Easily, yes. Yeah, that's a frustrating thing.
Do hate that.
Like, then I've got to open the chest again. I got to drop that thing. Then I have to open the chest again. Hope I haven't turned so that I'm just basically picking up the thing that I just dropped.
Yeah, and I know people are out there going, well, Scott, you can throw them, you know. I know. I'm saying there could be this other option would be nice just to let me drop it.
That's true. You can throw the weapon you don't want. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you have to cycle to find the one you don't want and then throw it. Like, it's kludgy. That should be not a thing. They should.
You still have to get out of that inventory, like, or out of the screen saying, you have no more slots of inventory.
Yeah,
you have to do that before you pick it up.
Some kludgy bullshit is what it is. Mm-hmm. Ida Bloke says, pancakes or flapjacks, scones versus biscuits.
Ooh.
What's the difference between a pancake and a flapjack?
Scones in America are something very different than scones, like in the UK. Like, scones in the UK are these delicious things you put honey in.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like sopapillas.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's really true. Really good. Mm-hmm. Scones here have been Starbucksized.
Yeah,
where they're delicious pastries, like almost like turnovers with nothing inside them. Mm-hmm.
They're a bit like, it's like Taco Bell. They're not really Mexican food,
right?
It's not really a scone. It's just kind of a thing.
And I don't care, pancakes or flapjacks. I don't care as long as it's got a nice crispy edge to it, where the batter has kind of gotten crispy from laying in the pan too long. The center is nice and soft and syrup absorbent, but the edge of the pancake is crispy and delicious.
Dude, you're killing me here. This sounds so good. Here's the thing about, we're doing that tonight. We're having breakfast for dinner with the kids.
Oh, I love breakfast for dinner.
Yeah, it's going to be good. There was a place when I was growing up, it was a sandwich place called the Scone Cutter. Do you guys have these by chance?
Cutters? But, we passed one. Oh, there is still one in Utah. Mm-hmm. Is that we saw it when we went out to Gray Whale.
Yeah, there's a few out there still, I think. I haven't been to one in ages, but in high school it was the place to go. Mm-hmm. And they made real scones. They were more like the European dense scones, but they would use that as the outside of whatever sandwich you made. Oh. So that was like your bread. It was so good, dude. Mm. I don't know if it's good now, but it was good then. Of course, what I thought was good when I was 17 is probably different than what I think now. But
that's not good anymore now. Yeah,
who knows? Dave Podnar says, "Have either of you used, or what he wrote is, have either of Yin's used Workflow for the iPad?" I don't know what Workflow is.
It's a brand new thing that Apple just acquired and gave away for free, and I haven't tried it yet. When I read the article, I honestly thought it was basically Automator, and I didn't realize it was for the. I thought it was for the desktop and not for mobile.
Oh, here it is. Editor's Choice, Workflow, Powerful Automation. Apple bought this?
Yeah.
Huh.
They didn't change it much either.
Yeah, it doesn't even look like they have their name on it.
It's basically Automator on the iPad, because it does allow you to say, okay, go to iPhoto, copy it to Dropbox, copy the URL, go to Twitter, paste the URL.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna mess with it. It's on my phone now, so I'll play with it later. Yeah, I didn't even know about it. This is news to me.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to review well. People like it. And if Apple bought it, they didn't put their name on it, though. It's still the other company's name.
Right, Disconnect. It still seems like a if this, then that kind of thing.
Sure, I like that. A Boolean choice, they'd call that. Look at that? The brain on Brad. Oh. Boolean.
Boolean, sure, yes.
Ones and zeros, on or off. I know what's up. Hey, final one here. Since Coverville is not a fan of hillbilly humor, but is a music connoisseur, how does he feel about Ray Stevens?
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good.
That's a good question. So Ray Stevens is the guy who did The Streak.
Yeah.
Look at that. Fastest thing on 2 feet. Yeah. I was such a Dr. Demento head when I was a kid that novelty songs for mm-hmm. me got somewhat of a pass in the yokel humor.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could listen to it now.
Yeah.
And especially Ray Stevens, for me, it seemed like he was on this, like, oh, here's The Streak, and then here's The Streak, like, did a sequel, and then there was another song that was kind of like that, and saying, don't look, Ethel, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And people who know the song know that whole bit. And then he came out with Everything Is Wonderful.
Oh, my Lord, yeah.
It was, like, such a weird change, a weird thing to, like, you know, get whiplash listening to Ray Stevens' greatest hits, because all of a sudden halfway through it's no novelty, it's just a little happy love song.
Wow. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't think of any other songs. Didn't he do the Arab one?
No, that was why am I thinking that's Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs? I might be mistaken though. Ray Stevens,
Ahab, the Arab. Who's the one that became a Muslim? Ahab.
You're talking Yosef Aslo or Yosef yeah. Cat Stevens?
Yeah, isn't that Cat Stevens?
Oh yeah, Cat Ray Stevens. Stevens. No, that's Ray Stevens.
Ray Stevens.
Yeah, Cat Stevens was Wild World and T for the Tillerman and
right.
And all that. Let me see. No, I'm sorry, you're right. Ahab the Arab was Ray Stevens.
Yeah, that one's definitely Ray Stevens. Let's see, I've got a video here. I'm not gonna
oh, hear him, because him and her had a thing going. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he was on Dr. Demento all the damn time.
All the damn time. And,
yeah.
Good
stuff. All right, well, there's your Twitter questions. Well done, everybody. Well done. I'd like to give you all a...
Don't look, Ethel!
Yeah, you don't want any of that.
Wow, he did a song called Osama Yo Mama?
Really? Recently?
I think so.
I thought he was,
he totally did. This is Osama Yo Mama, 2002 Ray Stevens. Want a link?
Yo Mama. No, I got it right here. Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah, here's your video. Ooh, he's looking rough. Oh, my Lord.
This seems like it's going to be,
this is really dumb.
Borderline racist.
Osama, your mama didn't raise you right. When you were young, she must have wrapped your turban too tight.
Oh, my Lord. Ray Stevens. He that's not, I mean, okay, that's fine. Whatever, Ray Stevens.
His middle name is Sist.
Whoo! That's really dumb. That's so dumb, Ray Stevens. Well done, you idiot. All right, he's, you can find, or you can send these questions to us every week. Ask TMS is the hashtag, and we encourage you to do it. Before we go today, we'd like to leave you with a little bit of a song, and Brian brought a little prepackaged one of some sort, and he's going to play it for you now. Brian, what'd you bring?
I did. This one is, as I scroll, going out to Rob Jackson, who says, howdy, Scott and Brian. I'm a graduate student studying for my PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology. Like you're ever going to be able to use any of that stuff.
No kidding.
It's been a grueling journey, and I'm grateful for the two of you and the amazing Frog Pants community for keeping me sane and entertained through the long hours. The journey is finally coming to a close, and I will defend my dissertation on Tuesday, March 21st. I hope that went well. I can think of no better way to celebrate than with my favorite community of nerds than through a song on TMS.
Oh.
He says, I normally study to electronic instrumental music and EDM, such as Lindsey Stirling and the String Quartet. However, I trust your musical expertise to choose the appropriate celebratory anthem. All right, so that's awesome. Number one, congratulations, and I hope the dissertation, defending your dissertation, went well. That's super cool, and we love hearing from our brainiac Frog Pants or brainiac listeners, Tad mm-hmm. Pooligans. makes us feel dumb. Anyway, this comes from electric violinist David Garrett. If you are unfamiliar with David Garrett, get familiar with him because he's so, so cool. And like I said, he's an electric violinist. And if you like Lindsey Stirling,
you're
going to like David Garrett.
Yeah, she's great.
This is from his self-titled album from 2009. It's a cover of Metallica's Nothing Else Matters.
Oh, my gosh, this is amazing. All right, here it is. We'll be back when? Monday, I guess. Monday.
Monday.
Film Sack this weekend, so watch for that and all the other usual ridiculousness. So come on back, everybody. We'll see you Monday.
Nope, that's
the first song. This is not it. That's the wrong song. Here it is.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
How about a little smile?